Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 63 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Shamari Mosley.
By the time this all shakes out, maybe having some work done on those low water crossings.
Grant money will go to infrastructure improvements in Elliott County.
Pfizer says an experimental COVID treatment pill is 89% effective.
Doctors are encouraging parents to vaccinate their children.
University of Kentucky researchers are working on a diabetic study.
Food banks in the Commonwealth are getting ready to address holiday need.
In sports, MSU basketball begins non-conference play tomorrow.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 39 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. Elliott County was among those awarded funds from the Commonwealth for various infrastructure projects on Friday. The county received over $1.6 million to improve flood control efforts, water systems, and roadways there. Much of that money has already been spent on repaving Kentucky Route 7 and multiple county roads. $400,000 will go toward repairing infrastructure in Elliott County damaged by floods over the past 2 years. Projects include bridge, road, and drainage repairs and replacing two low-water crossings. The last $276,000 is going towards the renovation of a pump station for the city of Sandy Hook. Elliott County Judge Executive Myron Lewis says that project has needed addressed for several years.
That will benefit the city of Sandy Hook. The existing pump was, I'm going to say, 25 to 30 years old and had gotten to where it was not being able to handle the amount of sewage coming at it. So the money being awarded through that avenue is going to greatly impact the citizens of Sandy Hook.
The American Society of Civil Engineers in 2019 projected that Kentucky faces nearly $14.5 billion in water infrastructure needs over the next 20 years, including over $8.2 billion in drinking water upgrades and $6.2 billion in sewer system improvements.
Pfizer recently announced an experimental pill in treating COVID-19 is 89% effective in preventing severe illness among at-risk COVID-19 patients. The antiviral treatment was monitored by clinical experts who urged that the trial be ended early due to the positive results. Medical Director at Primary Care Centers of Eastern Kentucky, Dr. John Jones, tells WIMT he's excited to see the potential for more options for patients.
With this new therapeutic, we've used therapeutics so far that do not have numbers as good as this one. So, you know, an 89% reduction in death is great. So this will definitely be a therapeutic that we utilize in the hospital setting.
Pfizer says it will be releasing data findings to regulators as soon as possible.
Doctors are encouraging parents of children ages 5 to 11 to get the Pfizer vaccine after the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention gave their okay last week. Officials say the dose the age group receives is one-third the dose teens and adults receive, and 28 million children are eligible for that shot. Infectious disease specialist Dr. Faris Kattar tells WYMT the vaccine being approved is a game changer for children.
Always worry about, you know, when you send your kid to school, when you send your kids to indoor activities like sports, about contracting the virus.
Officials say parents should talk to their child's health care provider before making a decision.
The University of Kentucky is teaming up with churches and organizations to enroll participants in a diabetic research study relating to self-management. UK researchers noticed a troubling trend in eastern Kentucky in recent years. People are suffering worse health outcomes related to type 2 diabetes than in other parts of the state. Jennifer Malin is the project manager at Faith Moves Mountains. She tells WIMT the research is trying to determine the best form of self-management to reduce symptoms of type 2 diabetes.
Each person gets 6 weeks of health coaching one-on-one, and we're seeing if the health coaching or the classes work better or if the combination works better.
The project is in the recruitment phase and may not yield result for several months.
Kentucky food banks have been preparing for months in order to help hundreds of families with meals for Thanksgiving, but have been facing supply chain issues. Many organizations have found it hard to find what they need and are experiencing shipping delays. Michael Halligan is the CEO of God's Pantry Food Bank in Lexington. He tells WKYT food banks are having to pay higher prices, which is impacting their budget.
The cost of the food that we are purchasing that goes into the sharing Thanksgiving basket, it's up about 14.5%.
Halligan says they are expecting to be helping more families during the 2021 holiday season than in years past. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from David Barber, a licensed realtor with the C. Roger Lewis Agency at 129 East Main Street in Moorhead. Selling real estate locally since 1997, David Barber has taught real estate courses at Moorhead State University for more than 20 years and securing loans for small business owners. Buying or selling a home, farm, or business, Realtor David Barber can be reached at 606-207-7877 at the C. Roger Lewis Agency in Moorhead. That's 606-207-7877.
Hazard Community and Technical College will be offering the Promise Scholarship, which covers full tuition for any first-time student in spring 2022. The college has already awarded $145,000 this fall through the scholarship. President and CEO of HCTC, Jennifer Linden, tells WYMT they want to help students who are financially struggling after the pandemic.
It is something that HCTC really felt passionate about in being able, again, to help students in our region be able to get back on their feet after the pandemic. And we really wanted to help students who may end up owing a balance even after their aid is applied or may not receive any other aid at all.
Part or full-time students who are interested in applying can find the application on the HCTC website.
The Council on Post-Secondary Education released a report last week addressing the current financial status of Kentucky State University. In July, after members of the KSU Board of Regents and CPE voiced concerns about the university's financial status, Governor Andy Beshear requested and authorized the assessment from the CPE. State leaders say the report highlights poor financial management by university leadership in recent years that resulted in significant operating deficits. The assessment also notes that KSU's productivity has declined compared with peer institutions. The CPE offers 14 recommendations to remedy the issues outlined in the report. Key among those recommendations is that KSU must cultivate a culture of accountability, transparency, and compliance.
Local authorities have arrested a Grayson man for murder. WMKY's Alyssa White has the story.
29-year-old Daniel Morgan has been placed in the Greenup County Detention Center after being charged with the first-degree murder of Curtis Carter. Flatwoods police responded to Reed Street late Wednesday night on a report of shots fired. Upon arrival, police discovered Carter had been shot to death. The Greenup County Coroner's Office later pronounced him deceased. According to the Daily Independent, Morgan was arrested on Friday night following a thorough investigation. For WMKY News, I'm Melissa White.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, sunny with a high near 71. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 45. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 67. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 48. Veterans Day, a 40% chance of showers, mainly after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 68.
On our feature segment today, seniors this year in Moorhead State University's Veterinary Technology Program earned 100% pass rate on a national exam. WMKY's Rachel Turner has more.
This is the first time in several years the program has achieved a 100% pass rate on the Veterinary Technical National Exam, a required test to obtain a veterinary technical license. Earlier this year, the program was named the top veterinary science associate degree program in the country by Intelligent.com. Amy Staten is a professor in the program. She says one feature that sets MSU's program apart is the constant access to the campus's 350-acre farm.
Our students are the ones that are providing all the medical needs for the animals. So we have about 150 head of cattle, 45 head of horses. We have some sheep and pigs as well. So they get a large amount of large animal experience.
Students also work with small animals at local shelters and rescues who partner with MSU. Staten says the students are able to do a lot of hands-on work in the setting as well.
So our veterinarian is the one that performs the surgeries, but our assistants assist in those surgeries. They are the ones that are providing the anesthesia and maintaining surgical planes of anesthesia for our patients, and they're also doing any medical treatments that are prescribed by our veterinarian.
Savannah House is a second-year student of the program. She says the classes that provide an opportunity to do hands-on work have been important to her education.
Now in this surgery lab class, we're getting to put everything into practice, and it's been so cool to know how to do something in your head, but then put it through your hands and have that moment of, I knew how to do that.
Staten says they desire students to get as much hands-on experience as possible, such as giving injections and placing catheters.
They're doing it multiple times before they leave our program. And so as they continue this repetitive process, it makes them more proficient before they go out into the profession.
Student Savannah House also says the influence of faculty who truly care about her success makes the experience of the program drastically better.
I was out with COVID in September, and every one of them was so good about helping me catch up. And they really, you can tell through how they teach and how they support us that they really do just want us to succeed.
Professor Amy Staten echoes the thought about the faculty.
Every one of our faculty members cares about these students, and so we want to see them succeed. And I think each and every one of them go above and beyond to make that possible for the students.
The VetTech program has a selective admission policy that is separate from and in addition to MSU's standard admission requirements. The number of clinical placement positions limits enrollment to 40 incoming students per year. Some of the opportunities for employment after completing the program include positions in private veterinary practices, government regulatory agencies, and humane associations, or in the areas of zoo/wildlife management, biomedical research, and academics. For WMKY News, I'm Rachel Turner.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a drop-off service for recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum, and steel cans, 1 and 2 numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, and paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University.
It's 63 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Shamari Mosley and Jonathan Burton, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Ethan Jenkins has a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this gorgeous Monday afternoon.
Moorhead State basketball is a day out from starting non-conference play. For WMKY Sports, I'm Ethan Jenkins. The Moorhead State University women's basketball team loaded up on the bus this morning as they look to start their non-conference schedule tomorrow night. The Eagles will be playing a very tough Michigan State team that holds a number of potential WNBA prospects. Moorhead State fell in their exhibition game against Georgetown Thursday, the first for new head coach Kayla Petrie. She says the team had far too many turnovers, and that's something that will need to be addressed moving forward.
We charted them, and I think we had 24 total turnovers. 20 of the turnovers were mental, and so that would mean 4 were from trying to make a play. And then what's crazy is 3 of those 4 were trying to make a play on something that we said would not be there.
The Eagles and Spartans will square off tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. The Morehead State University men's basketball team will be on the road tomorrow night as well. MSU is heading south to take on Auburn in their non-conference opener. The game will be a major test for the Eagles, who are coming off an exhibition win against Kentucky State last week. Head coach Preston Spradlin says facing Auburn will make his guys better, as well as give himself some perspective on what his guys need to focus on in practice.
It's all about preparing for that, 18-game OVC schedule and those 3 days in March in Evansville. And so if you've got any deficiencies in your program, in your lineup, and on either side of the ball with your offense or your defense, you want to get those figured out and exposed earlier in the season rather than later on when you're trying to compete.
Tip-off in Alabama tomorrow night is set for 6 o'clock. The Morehead State University rifle team is having to adjust their records book once again. WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
Just a week after setting the program record for combined score, Morehead State Rifle upped the mark Saturday in a victory over OVC foe UT Martin. The Eagles, who were ranked 11th in the CRCA poll last week, shot a school record 4,685 and also set records for air rifle team total at 2,365 and small bore standing at 764. In air rifle, the record went down with the help of 4,590 or better totals. Senior Aaron Deal fired a team-high 593, followed by juniors Bryce Ward and Grace Weber with 591 scorecards. Freshman Danielle Vigil put the Eagles over the top with a 590. On the small bore side of the range, Deal fashioned a 589 and Ward shot 585. Plessity also hit the 580 mark exactly. MSU Rifle returns to action Saturday for the Kentucky Long Rifle match in Lexington, where they'll face the University of Kentucky and Murray State. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Grad student Olivia Lohmeyer became just the fourth volleyball athlete in the Ohio Valley Conference to reach 1,900 career kills, with 11 of them Saturday. It was the team's second consecutive straight set win over Belmont after beating the Bruins Friday night. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker-McBride says it was a big night for her Eagles as they continue to look towards the OVC tournament.
To get those two wins over Belmont was incredibly important for our OVC standings. Belmont is a really good team in system, and so we were able to serve aggressive and take them out of their offensive game plan.
MSU will now travel to Southeast Missouri next weekend for a pair of crucial regular season ending matches. One win by the Eagles in either match will clinch at least a share of the regular season title. Two wins by MSU, plus one more loss in any match by Austin Peay, will secure the top spot and the right to host the tournament for the second straight season. What appeared to be a potential game-tying touchdown pass with 5 seconds remaining was then ruled an interception as the Morehead State football team's comeback effort at San Diego came up short Saturday in a 10-3 setback. The Eagles slipped to 5-4 overall and 4-2 in the Pioneer League. Head coach Rob Tenier says his guys were prepared for a tight matchup heading into the trip.
It's a big challenge. I think they've only lost two games, maybe three games at home in 9 years. And so they're a really good team at home. We'll be battling that a little bit.
Morehead State returns home Saturday for its home finale versus Stetson. Kickoff at Jane Stadium is set for 1 o'clock. The Rowan County senior high school football team's season came to a close Friday night. The Vikings fell to Harrison County at home in the opening round of the postseason, 34-21. Rowan had beaten the Thoroughbreds earlier in the season, 50-28, but head coach Kelly Ford says once tournament play starts, it's a whole new season.
You look back at last year, Boyd and Boyd went up to Holmes and knocked them off in the playoffs, so. Everybody in the state's 0-0. Numbers is just out there for home field advantage pretty much. But we got to come and play. He'll definitely have them ready. Coach Graham's a really, really good coach, and he'll definitely have his team ready and fired up, ready to play.
Brown football concludes the season with a 7-4 record overall and a 3-2 in the district.
That's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Ethan Jenkins.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, celebrating 100 years of business in 2021. Ruth Hunt's long-term success is proven by using fine ingredients and traditional methods in making their confections. Ruth Hunt is Kentucky proud with traditional candies, Woodford Reserve bourbon balls, and Blue Mondays, sweetening the distance between you and your loved ones. Ruth Hunt candies in Mount Sterling, Lexington, and anytime online at ruthhuntcandy.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P 500, the Dow, and the NASDAQ all closed at record highs after Congress approved an infrastructure spending package over the weekend, and the Dow Industrials gained 0.3% at 36,432.22. The S&P 500 was up 0.1%, but enough for a new record at 4701.70, and the NASDAQ Composite was up less than 0.1% to finish at 15,982.36. And, of course, late Friday, the U.S. House of Representatives did pass the much-anticipated $1 trillion infrastructure bill, sending the legislation to President Biden for his signature. And this was first passed by the Senate in August, and the package would provide new funding for transportation, utilities, and broadband, among other infrastructure projects. Industrials and material stocks rallied on the news because, of course, those names are set to benefit from the spending package. The Global ex-U.S. Infrastructure Development Exchange-Traded Fund was up 1.3% and hit a new all-time high. Mining company Freeport-McMoRan, construction material stock Vulcan, and steel corporation Nucor were among the top gainers in the S&P 500 as a result of this legislation that's coming. Construction equipment manufacturer Caterpillar was the top Dow performer with a 4% gain. Heavy equipment producer Deere saw its shares rise 1.6%. United Rentals, Martin Marietta, and Jacobs Engineering were among other infrastructure-related gainers. Elsewhere, chipmaker Advanced Micro led gains on the S&P 500 and NASDAQ, rallying 10.1% after the company announced it won Meta, formerly known as Facebook, as a chip customer and revealed new chip products. And Tesla founder Elon Musk rattled investors this weekend, asking in a Twitter poll whether he should sell 10% of his stock as a response to political clamoring to tax unrealized gains from equity holdings. 58% of respondents did say yes, and shares in Tesla itself dropped more than 4%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was App Harvest down 3 cents at 551, CSX up 6 cents at 3547, PPL down 5 cents at 2867, Kroger down 62 cents at 4170, Marathon Petroleum down 14 cents at 6567, and Community Trust Bank was down 19 cents, finishing at 4566. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 71. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 45. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 67.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Alyssa White, Devin Bartley, Keneally Roberts, Ethan Jenkins, Cassidy Stearman, and Jonathan Burton. Our feature segment this afternoon was from WMKY's own Rachel Turner. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Shamari Mosley and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.